Yeah. anyway, okay, now, on to yet a different wrinkle on Tiger Rat. Of course, we've got Seth Tracy as our guest. Really, I've got cool details cut through the interview last week on the show. We always talk about Tiger Rat, you know, one form or another, but it's so important. So the form that's going to take today is that there's an auction that has been set up, online auction, and I'm going to read you the information, but essentially it's to raise money again for the Tigers and and again, Tiger Rat, the baller of all right, so here we go. This release starts. The bunch of animals will hold an online auction to support the care of 39 tigers taken, one of the worst incidents in animal rescue history, of educating the public about the tragic consequences of taking wild animals out of the wild. The auction will be held April 16th and 26th at www.funauctions.org. Associated with eBay, among items of rock and original art by Peter Max, that a tour of as the most cool stuff from Paul's and Kit Cars will be a bar and banner, half autographed trip to the Zone of Arcadia, Phoenix Stream, tickets to the View, Letterman, and Lions Regency Kelly, and personal items from Richard Pryor, Dennis Vaughn, Santa Phillips, Ann Mira, and Barry Phillips. Austin proceeds. We'll support Tiger Rescue, Tiger's Rescue, last year at a home and pseudo sanctuary in Southern California, where 50 found 90 dead tigers, and see 75 exotic cats still alive. Come to care, took care and places the cats and survived and successfully placed all the 39 in reputable sanctuaries. Fundraised $250,000 for the new sanctuary for the remaining cats, still being cared for daily by the front. And 400 volunteers. The new expansive habitat is under construction at Pond, performing animal welfare site in San Andreas, California, for the tigers to move the land to the about 2,000 acres of sanctuary. So, anyway, again, check out www.funauctions.org. And if you'd like to bid on or just other ways, maybe make a donation to help these cats and get them set up in there. So, that's that. More locally, saw this in the LA Times yesterday. Headline, weather spotted planned heat of protest with dogs. That the Saturday's foggy weather may have dampened many weekend plans, but one Orange County animal lover was particularly bad. Quote, I looked out the window and went right back to sleep, hoping that it was just a bad dream. As the Smith was planned to spend the morning demonstrating at Huntington Beach's popular dog beach. Smith, who helped organize the protest, finally forced himself to drive to Dog Beach Casino to bash it down. The place was nearly deserted. He headed back home. People for the ethical treatment of animals, had booked to take a snarl to protest the alleged mistreatment of animals by a major pet food manufacturer and a billboard company's refusal to let Peter put a claim on an outdoor sign in Orange County. So the store is frustrated, Smith, and of course, all I can do is speak my voice and educate people, and I couldn't even do that today. He alleges that it was has uncovered animal abuse by a research lab operated by the IAM company of Dayton, Ohio. But when the Orioles tried to advertise its alleged findings on an Orange County billboard, the sign's owner, New York-based Viacom Outdoor, refused to accept the ad. But we tried to play several other billboards and were really very surprised at the reaction we're getting. Allison Gibbler, national coordinator, treated anti-IM campaign. The billboard companies are very scared of going up against Procter & Gamble, the parent company of IM. The spokesman for IM on Friday denied the company had mistreated animals. Both the allegations conflict with the basic principle of IAM's use for conducting field studies. But I was the manager of external relations said regarding the CD campaign. The charges that are absolutely not true, that's the best way to put it. And the story goes on from there. So any thoughts on that? 949-824-5844-949-UCI. And having just returned from Florida, I thought we'd definitely want to focus this story. Scientists have confirmed the first sighting of endangered right whales in the Gulf of Mexico in more than 20 years. University of Florida student Chris Kramer photographed the two whales off the Florida Panhandle. The photos were reviewed by whale experts who recognized the animals as right whales, probably a female and their parents. There's only about 300 remaining right whales considered the world's most search for the song with the correct answer with the cool prize. And again, the Falcon prize both for now and for Name That Animal soon. Miscellaneous T-shirt, the Trill McClain book, delivered by her dog, an Ian Anderson CD. Ian Anderson, of course, we got from the show earlier, two months ago, actually, at this point. And, Name That Animal song, family of CD. That's had a really cool book. For B, the story of the beagle that changed my life. That's what you might like to get from the show. We've got necklaces, jewelry, we've got safety collars, we've got umbrellas, t-shirts, I mean, just all kinds of merchandise, cool stuff. So, anyway, all right, all that's left is this, and your choice, one of those things. Okay, so here it is. Here's the question. Bonobo, a type of monkey, uses makeup sets to soothe emotions and fight. Bonobo, a type of monkey, uses makeup sets to soothe emotions and fight. 949-824-5824-949-UCI. Hey, UCI, first thing to correctly guess that answer is too close. Either one or the other. Whatever the first one is right. So, going to, you know what, I'm going to just wrap things up there. If we have time later, we're going to come back and get into more news items. But we want to make it to the summertime. We're going to get to the receiver. So, for now, that is the news segment. Again, we're going to come back to more items later. But if there are ever any news stories that you'd like to bring to our attention, anywhere, locally, otherwise, you know, you're happy to have those, that's the best way to do it. Email them, poppyanimalsdale.com, and I'd like to encourage you to email us with any comments about the show, suggestions that you get, ideas about Amazon, comments about any other animal problems on your mind. That email again is poppyanimalsdale.com, and please remind me, perhaps you don't need that, but that's okay. That's Poppy Animals' website. I hope you'll check out the site at www.poppyanimals.net. That's .net book. And sign up for the email. You can post an article and get another quarter of an article. You can find art bags and snacks at the store. Go to photographs and articles. And all kinds of links, other obvious pieces and more. So do stop by and take a look around the site again at poppyanimals.net. It's time now to step into the Poppy Animals' comedy corner, which, of course, as always, involves animal wine and people's comments. This is Jonathan Winters. With a business team, I guess with all the best of these, called Youth Tech Shop on today's Comedy Corner here at UCI.
I am originally from Ohio. You might have read that in some magazine, which is true. You know, a lot of folks make up their names and places and everything, but I am. I'm one of them farm boys. And I had an uncle who was a little off. Oh, yeah. Knocked down by Harley one day. And Harley Davidson, oh, I hit him, shook anybody, going over a kid, wise guy, going about 75 miles an hour, and threw him in the side of a cement plant. But shook him a little, you know. And, well, my Uncle Willard had this used pet shop. It was for used pets. And, yeah, there's always something wrong with them, you know. And so a guy came in one day, and he said, how much is the doggy in the window?
That dog you have there in front? That dog run you a dollar.
A dollar for a dog? Isn't that a little unusual?
No. I don't know whether you noticed or not. He ain't got no claws on his right paw. Sort of a conversation piece.
Yes, no, I wouldn't want that. What the devil's that over there?
Why, it's an owl. I can give you him for $375. You wouldn't know it. He ain't got no feathers on his body. I got him down Biloxi, and there was a storm come up or something, broke all his feathers off. And I've got purple feathers and chartreuse, and what you can do is put a little slickum on his belly and paste them on there, you know, and put him there in the parlor, and that's conversation piece like a dog. Yes.
I see. Oh, listen, incidentally, don't put your finger in that bowl.
No, the reason I... Oh, took your finger off, didn't he? Oh, God, you know, it's a funny thing. You never have to feed that fish nothing. There's always some clown like yourself putting his finger in the bowl. Took it right off, didn't it? Boy, I bet that smarts, don't it? That's a fun, you. Them things hit anything. Got them in the Amazon River.
I never got it. Some guy dropped off here one day over the bait shop.
Listen, I'll tell you what I can do. I can give you that kangaroo over there for 10 and a half. Come all the way from Australia. Most of them do. I got him as far as Muncie, and he fell off a flat car and broke his tail. Now, you know, most of them sit back there on their tails like this. But this one, you got to lean him again some.
No, I don't believe I'd want that.
I guess not. Listen, I've got a boa constrictor here. It's pregnant. I can give you that, and a dozen white rats free. You want to see it? I'll let it out here. Oh, careful. Oh, Lord. Ma, come in here. That snake up and swallowed another customer.
All right, that was Jonathan Winter for the piece called You Pet Dog, taken from his CD entitled The Wonderful World of Jonathan Winter. Comic Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals, and that's the best in the air. Talking Animals and CDPI, 88.9 FM broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. Do any of you know? No, it's live on the internet at www.cdpi.org. You can do that or listening that very way, and some of you, that's for the most part, it's an exciting Talking Animals. Right now, before we proceed, I would like to remind you, if you finish with you, the set of Talking Animals are not necessarily the KUPI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this guest is Amy Peters, founder of Pet Guardian Pet Trust Program, a new service that provides a broad, multifaceted plan for people to ensure that should they die before their pets, or just otherwise become unable to care for the animals, that the still receive top-notch care and not end up at a shelter where they might well be facing problems being euthanized. So, a great deal to learn about the Pet Guardian Program, so let's welcome Amy Peter. Amy, are you there?
I'm
here. Cool. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you so much,
Duncan. Thank you. Doc, there's so many things I want to delve into about the Pet Guardian Pet Trust Program, but you know, we'll get into momentarily, of course. But of course, I think it's always interesting to hear about someone's history and the path that led them to their work with animals, and these things sort of keep a dovetail in your case. So, just kind of starting with, where did you grow up, and you kind of always have animals in your life?
Yeah, I actually, I grew up in the Southeast, on the Redneck
River.
I don't know if you've heard about that area.
Absolutely, yeah, by Alabama. Sort of
yeah, absolutely. I was actually born in Alabama, and I made my way out to California, and when I moved out here, it was difficult, you know, getting to know people, and so what I thought I'd do was, you know, become a member or a volunteer at a local animal club, because I really do love animals, and I thought, you know, getting out and walking some dogs from time to time would be a really good thing.
Sure.
And one of the interesting things that I found out was people would start coming in with their animals or pets or parents who had passed away.
Mm.
And it was really difficult because you can't tell these people to march out the door and go find a home for these pets when they're dealing with the death of a parent or a loved one. And most of the time, these pets are, you know, older pets who've been well taken care of. And you know for sure that the owners of these pets would just be horrified to know that these pets are ending up in the animal shelter. Because most likely, the older pets who are cowering in the back of the cruises are not going to be adopted.
Sure.
So, it really bothered me that I didn't really know what to do. And then after the events of 9/11, reading all the stories of, 800 orphan pets in New York City.
Is that what it was, just in the wake of 9/11, that there was 800 cats and dogs?
Yeah, there were cats and birds and all kinds of pets.
Right.
And I was reading the stories about, you know, how some of these pets were sitting in homes for weeks at a time. No one knew that they were there. And what was really interesting enough was that the average age of these pet owners was like 38, 39 years old. And, of course, you know, even though I'm not a senior citizen, I started thinking about it, and every time we got on a plane and flew somewhere, I was like, oh, God, you know, what's going to happen to my pet if I don't come back?
Yeah.
And what's very likely is, you know, somebody, one of my relatives might take them, but maybe they won't. So I started looking into it and trying to figure out what options I had, and one of the options I came across was pet trust. And I did a lot of research on pet trust, and I talked to a lot of legal experts, and there's actually a law professor in San Antonio who's done extensive research on pet shops. And while pet shops are really a great option, they're not real foolproof, because the same thing can happen is that you designate a relative or friend in your will or your estate plan to take care of your pets, or even in the pet shop, and these people actually taken as a pet. And this even plays more into effect for people who have birds and they live 70 or 80 years, or horses that live 40 or 60 years. And so it's really, you know, it's kind of an interesting process to try to figure out, you know, how to make sure that your pets are always going to be taken care of.
So it sounds like, Amy, that in the course of that research, obviously, you know, got steeped in the world of pet trust, and then if I follow you, then you kind of really develop the Pet Guardian Trust program sort of away from the pitfalls you found in the existing program.
Right, because one of the other problems, well, there's actually two problems. One problem is that there's not a lot of estate planners that know about pet trust.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's not their core
specialty area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other issue with pet trusts is that people tend to overfund them. And by leaving $50,000 or $100,000 to your pet tends to send up a red flag. And especially if you have any beneficiaries that can contest that pet trust. So we have a bunch of components in our program, such as the cost analysis, to help you determine exactly how much to put aside for your pet. And on top of that, we are working with Best Friends, Animal Society.
Yeah, which is great. I did mention before, since the woman on the other phone, I mean, I've just done a trip to Utah and visited there. I've yet to visit, but we've had Michael Mountain on earlier.
Oh, right.
More recently, yeah, had Frank to Utah. So we love Best Friends. I mean, so that's great. You're affiliated with them in terms of administering the Pet Guardian Trust.
Right. So for what about main components of our program is that if anything ever happens to the people you designated in your pet trust, then Best Friends has an extensive nationwide network of people that they will help find a new home for your pet. And this is especially advantageous for people who have birds who are going to live 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
Sure.
And I mean, it's very difficult to find someone who's going to be around that long.
Right. Or at least with a guarantee that they're going to be around that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And I'm actually part of their network, and I get emails every week where they're trying to locate homes for pets, and then I get the email the week later. I've already found, you know, homes for these five dogs, or this one pig, or this one bird.
Sure.
So it's a really great system. And I think that this program will help people have, you know, incredible peace of mind that not only will their animals always be taken care of, but because this program is so specific to outlining everything from, you know, what kind of medications do they get, or where they like to sleep, or any special behavior habits, that the pets will continue to get the same kind of care that they're getting now.
That's really cool. I mean, let me just say this is Abe Fernandez. I'm Abe's guy. I'm Delta Scott, the Killer Talk Animals, and we're speaking with Amy Kieber, the founder of the Pet Guardian Pet Trust Program. And you know what, Amy, maybe, first of all, just because some people listening may not be aware of other pet trust programs, I mean, one of the things, a couple things, at least really gladdened when I was reading about your program, is that A, the cost is much more reasonable compared to the others I'm aware of, at least, and B, it seems much more flexible about making changes. So maybe you could just give us those kind of details, and maybe just sort of walk us through, like, you know, if someone were interested, you know, what you get and how it works.
Sure, absolutely. So we're trying to make this affordable for the majority of pet owners. As you may be aware, there's very few people in the United States, I think there's like 73% of Americans that actually have a lawyer and actually do an estate plan. So we're trying to make this reasonable, that, you know, it's appealing, that people can actually just go online and create their own documents or just send us an application. They don't have to really go to a lawyer. We do encourage people, if they have existing estate plans, to make sure that their lawyers have these documents so that they tie into their existing plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, $500 is a lot less than going to a lawyer to draw up a simple estate plan, which can be $1,000 to $2,000. And on top of that...
The $500 you're referring to, that is what it costs, the Pet Guardian fee, basically. That's the cost, and that's pretty much all inclusive, if I'm not mistaken.
It's all inclusive, and the components that you get with the plan, of course, are the legal pet trust document, which is actually a very thorough document. It's actually 4 pages long. Most of the pet trust that I've seen is simply, you know, a few sentences talking about who you want your animals to go to. So ours is very, very thorough.
And how would you even, Amy, if that's you or difficult, is that to incorporate into, let's say people do have an existing estate plan that's already been developed. I mean, is that, can that be folded in fairly easily, or at least appropriate or given that it's more specific, it sounds like the details are involved.
Well, it's very specific to the test.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the estate plans out today are not specific at all to pets. So
okay.
This is just the test to regular estate plans.
Okay.
And it's basically only concerned with outlining what type of care you want for your pets and who you want to take care of them.
Okay.
The other components that we provide, again, are the cost analysis, and what we take into account are the current age of the pet, the existing costs associated with that pet,
mm-hmm.
and then the life expectancy of that pet. All the costs that we include are everything from veterinary expenses, whether or not the pet has pet insurance, food, medication, supplements, bedding, toys, supplies, even burial information fees. So what we try to do is give somebody a picture of who's about how much you want to leave aside for your pet. And so that really helps out, to make sure that people know how much that is.
And Amy, that does bring us back to the thing you kind of touched on before, about, I guess, the red flag or the potential difficulty of overfunding. But let's say, I mean, even though I have a very specific formula, and I'm sure, it works very well, what if that's a bit somewhat underfunded? The money they've set aside, let's say, Rover or whoever, outlives the expectancy, and there's money left to be ready to care for.
Well, there's two things that we address with that.
Okay.
The first thing is that Best Friends and together with Pet Guardian, we created what's called a goodwill program.
Okay.
And what we're doing is collecting information so that in case somebody does pass away, and for some reason, and a lot of times things happen where there's not enough money left aside, or the pet has extreme conditions like emergency surgeries and so forth, so there's not enough money left over. But we can help cover some of those costs so that the caregiver doesn't have to go out of pocket on these expenses.
Okay.
The other thing we do too is in our documents, we ask the pet owner to make sure that when they get there, according with the caregiver, is that they cover that topic.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have enough money set aside in our pet shelter, are you still willing to take care of our pets?
I see.
And that's a really important question to ask.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I would have to be really part of that conversation because you just wouldn't know. And the flip side of that, Amy, again, what you touched on earlier, is that if you, and I don't know at what point you put a cross into a territory where it appears that you've overfunded, and then again, that may or may not turn up into a red flag, but let's say that someone, had a big wad of dough for their pets or pets. How effective, is the language? How ironclad is it versus, what are the prospects of somebody challenging and saying, oh my God, this guy set aside, $50,000 for, so and so. I mean, is that still a possibility that they could challenge it, and win, or is the language pretty strong and we have to prevent that kind of scenario?
Well, that's a really good question. The pet trusts that have been challenged in court, I've read through many, many of these. The reason that they were challenged is because somebody basically just comes up with a number. They say, I'm going to leave $50,000, or I'm going to leave $100,000 for my dog.
Yeah.
But there's no justification behind the number, and that is where it gets challenged.
I see. So it seems kind of kooky to me, or random. Is that why it's more open to challenge, or?
Well, yeah, and, I don't know how many judges out there that can sit there and say, well, you have a dog, and I know it costs X amount of dollars for
right.
a year to take care of a dog. So they,
right.
without any justification behind the number, those are much more susceptible to being challenged. Whereas, if we have a very detailed cost analysis, and it breaks down every component,
mm-hmm.
and if that were to go in front of the judge, then that person can say, well, this number's a little high, but, at least they've taken the time to make this step.
There's rhyme and reason to it, yeah.
Right, and most of the pet trusts that do get challenged, most of the time, the judges will rule in favor of the pet, make sure the to draw the animals in there.
Right.
It's not a favorite dead season of put an animal to sleep because there's no money left. But it's a really good thing to do. Even
sure.
If it's, you know, whether somebody goes to the lawyer and just has the defenses in the will, but just to make those provisions is very significant.
And then also, you know, in preparing for this interview, I was wondering if there either, you know, any version of your form, or has there ever been a situation comparable to what you find in wills and certain other kinds of trusts, where there's almost a penalty clause if someone were to challenge the provisions? In other words, you know, some guy says, hey, you know, I don't agree with what they left for their tenants. I'm going to challenge them. Sometimes, at least in a human, you know, situation, they say, look, if anybody challenges this, they're automatically, you know. So, I mean, is that even come up? Is that a possibility? I'm just thinking of ways, I guess, always thinking of ways to protect the animal. But it sounds like if this was large and solid, it wouldn't be subject to that. But I'm just wondering if there's any way you could even build in that kind of, at least individually, before you could build in that element.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the best course of action is if people feel like there are beneficiaries that may be left behind that might be, you know, not happy with the outcome of what's left behind in an estate plan or a tax trust. They do need to go to the extra effort to put in clauses such as that.
I see.
But typically that is not such a problem, and especially with our program where it's very specific to the pet and that, you know, it outlines the cost analysis, but it's very specific to the pet's care. And one of the components of our pet trust documents is that when the pet in the pet trust has passed away, then there's several options for where you want to leave the money, where do you want to leave the leftover remains of that pet trust fund. And a lot of people do see to leave it to an animal welfare organization, such as Best Fund, or
sure,
to the Goodwill Program. And they can also leave it to a beneficiary as well.
I see. Yeah. And I think you kind of just answered it already. But let's say that somewhere along the line, someone like gets their pet guardian, you know, pet trust document together, and then they give it to them, or for one reason or another, it needs to make it clean. If I'm not mistaken, that's fairly simple and no extra charge to make such changes. Is that correct?
Yes. If the pet owner goes online and makes the changes, they can do that any day, any time, for no extra charge. Which is a really good thing, because, you know, people tend to move, or an animal might pass away, and maybe get another pet.
Sure.
So those things can be done fairly easy, and their new documents are generated for them immediately. And again, like I mentioned before, when you go to a lawyer, it takes you $200 just to make a call and you know, add a pet to your plan. But this is another advantage to, you know, doing it this way.
And also, too, I mean, good for people who, you know, may not have, you know, had reason to think in these terms, so they don't kind of step into this territory. But, I mean, even just to set up a lot of other, you know, somewhat similar plans, I mean, it's a good deal more expensive. I mean, in some cases, like, you know, extremely much more expensive.
Right, and there are programs out there that we actually recommend to people who do not have caregivers for those pets. They're called lifetime care programs or perpetual care programs.
Mm-hmm.
And what this option is, it's a valid option. Sometimes it can be pricey, but people can find one of these programs. We actually have about 100 of these programs listed on our website. And you can list in your will that, you know, when I pass away, here's the program that's going to take in my pet, and here's the amount of money left aside for this program. Now, the downside for some of these programs is that your animal is going to live in a sanctuary or a facility.
Mm-hmm.
And if your animal is used to a lot of one-on-one attention, especially if they're older and they may not be able to adjust, then those may not be the best situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are programs out there, and there's a lot of veterinary school programs that will actually try to place your animal in your home. And we have those programs listed on our website as well. And those are very good programs to think about. But again, you know, if you really care about your pet, you're going to want to know exactly where your pet's going to end up.
Absolutely. And again, too, I think even some of these programs that you sort of alluded to, I mean, at least in some of the research I've done, I mean, you can get into several $1,000s to establish this. I mean, not necessarily talking about the money setting aside for the animal's care,
it goes all the way up to $210,000 for a horse.
Wow.
So it's very significant.
Yeah.
And again, you know, a lot of these programs, they take in pets and they're pets living in a facility rather than somebody's home.
Well, this is about at the end of our time. The first one we say that I should have said a couple times already by now, that the website is www.petguardian.com. And then let me ask you just the horse thing that made me think. I mean, what kind of animals, I mean, can this cover or is this wide open, the Pet Guardian program for these kind of animals?
That's a good question. Currently, we're covering horses, birds, dogs, and cats.
Okay.
But we also have an 800 number if I...
Oh, by all means. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's toll free because some people don't have websites.
Sure.
It's 888-843-4040.
Way up, 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 way up Mr. Grimm, you win. Dozens of new friends. They're bound to be true friends. Hey, brother Bill. Smile.